with that, let's go ahead and turn our attention to where we're going in our text today. We're actually going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Last week, if you were with us, as we continue on with this sermon series on why church, we talked about the Word of God. And one of the things that we really leveraged about the Word of God last week and talked about is the reality that the Word of God's not just words on a page. The Word of God literally is a miraculous and spiritual thing that we get to partake in every time we engage it. Whether we read it in our quiet times or whether we come to a church service, the Word of God is the means that God has given us, or one of the means that God has given us, to transform His people into what He calls us to be. So it produces faith in us. It sanctifies us. This is God's Word to us. In fact, in many ways, God actually embodies His Word as it's proclaimed. Like, this is a beautiful thing. It's a spiritual reality. And so this week, what we get to do is we get to flip the coin over, because as the Lord speaks, so does He hear, right? And He hears us through our prayers. And so prayer is what we're talking about today. And for some of you in the room, you're like, yeah, like, you can't wait. You're ready for it. You're like jumping out of your seats, hoping I go all the way. And like, we just see prayer happen. And some of you are like sinking underneath your chairs going, oh no, right? Because for some of us, prayer is a gift. It's easy. It's natural. Others of us, it's a challenge. Some of us in the room, when we think of prayer, we have images of like tongues of fire coming down over our heads, while others of us, if we're honest, have images that come into our minds about prayer, and those images are what seems to be deafening silence. Like, it's a struggle for us. And so regardless of where you are, we need to talk about prayer, because prayer is a foundational element of what it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And so what we want to do is we want to talk through that today. And ultimately, we want to go to our Lord as He gives us instruction on how to pray. And so if you have your Bibles, again, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we are going to read verses 9 through 13. And if you would, please stand with me out of respect for God's Word as we read. Church, hear the word of the Lord. This is our Lord's instructions. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we come to this topic of prayer, and we start with prayer, because we acknowledge when we come in prayer that, one, we want to be open to hear your voice. We acknowledge that we are dependent upon you. And so, Father, even this morning, as we have this conversation, as we talk about this, as we look at your word in this regard, we pray that by your Spirit, you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, open our eyes, convict us, encourage us, console us, comfort us. Whatever we need for this day, may you have freedom in our lives to do so. May we call you into our lives to do so, and may you do that miraculous work for us as your people. And so, Father, we pray that you would be glorified and exalted in everything that is said, everything that is spoken this morning, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So we come to the topic of prayer, and before we get to the why of prayer, the first question comes, like, how should I pray? Like, how should I pray? And let me just be honest with you. We could preach a 13-week sermon series on this. In some respects, I wish that we could, but we're not going to. We're going to get to some foundational elements. And when we think about the idea of how we should pray, like, we could sit here and talk all day long, like, because there's a ton of questions. Do I pray with my eyes closed? Do I pray with my eyes open and lifted towards heaven? Do I raise my hands towards heaven? Do I fold them? Do I sit? Do I kneel? Do I lay prostrate? Do I lay in my bed? Is that okay for me to pray that way? Do I pray silently? Do I pray spontaneously? Do I pray corporately? Do I pray with brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I pray the Word of God? Do I pray prayers of the saints? And on we can go. My easy answer to all of those is yes. Mark already gave me the answer, right? So the answer is yes, and he's right. The answer is yes. In Scripture, we see all of those elements, and so when we come to the question of like, how do we pray, we come to this reality of what Jesus says, and what I believe Jesus is doing here is not trying to give us just a form of prayer that we can repeat, although it's helpful to do that at times. He is helping us to reshape ourselves and reorient ourselves as we approach the topic of prayer so that we come to the Lord with the right heart and the right position, and which comes out of our heart. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And so what Jesus does in this prayer is he gives us six petitions or six asks of the Lord. And it starts off with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be your name. I'm doing the King James Version because that's what I grew up with, right? So hallowed be your name. Now, here's what's interesting. Notice that Jesus doesn't just start off with a petition. He starts off with our Father in heaven. And this is unbelievably important because what Jesus begins with here is he wants us to be rooted in an understanding of our relationship with the Father first. You're children of God. You are his sons and his daughters. You aren't coming to him like a dictator. You're not coming to him like a tyrant. You're not coming to him as a mean person up in heaven. Like, you're coming to him as a father, and not like your earthly fathers. Like, all of our earthly fathers were imperfect. That is not the picture of God. He is the standard of what a father is. He is our heavenly father. He is a good father. And so he calls us to enter into this relationship, and how we approach God is really, really important. Like, if you're a dad, you know that how your kids approach you is really important. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. You guys know I just adopted Jade into our home, me and Karen did. And so now as my daughter, she's a part of our family. But here's what's interesting. She has not liked me for the past 6 weeks. Like, she doesn't really like me. She doesn't know what to do with a guy, doesn't know what to do with a dad. And so oftentimes what I get when I approach Jade is, like, literally, she'll push me, she grunts at me, she whines and cries when I get near. If I try to feed her, she calls for mama. Like, she doesn't call me, she doesn't want me to be around. I don't get to snuggle her yet, although it's getting better. But here's the deal. Every once in a while, Jade will run up to me and go, "Daddy." And I'm like, "Oh, that's so sweet." And then I realize that she doesn't really want me. She wants what I can give her, right? Well, my other daughter, Samantha, who was born into my home, who was literally put in my arms at birth, she understands that when she comes to daddy, she wants daddy. Like, she wants my presence. She's not looking just to get something sometimes, but oftentimes she wants just my presence. She understands the wonder of just sitting in the arms of her father. She understands what a father is. And Jesus is trying to establish how we approach him in this regard first. Brothers and sisters, we are not made children of God simply so we can get stuff from him. We are reconciled to God so that we could dwell with him, so we could know him, so we could be in his presence. Prayer has to start there. You have to understand that that's what we're doing. We're not just giving him a list. We're going into the presence of our Father. And then we get to the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Now, what's cool about this is actually birthed out of an understanding of the very character and nature of God and who he is. So as we sit in his presence, our desire and our knowledge of who he is should grow. And our desire then should be to exalt his name above any other, to see his name be set apart above any other. It is birthed out of our relationship with him. Let me give you a practical, real-world example of what this looks like. If you were to go to any third-grade class and you were to get like 5 or 6 boys, put them in a room and say, "Okay, guys, which one of you has the best dad?" You know what happens? Have you ever been around kids and you've asked that question? Here's what happens. The little boy's going to go, "Well, my dad, he can pick up 1 bag of concrete." And then the other little boy's going to say, "Oh, yeah, well, my dad can pick up 12 with 1 arm." One kid's going to say, "Well, my dad, he makes like $100,000. And the other one's going to say, "Oh, that's nothing. My dad makes $100 million, billion, trillion dollars." And what are they trying to do? They understand their dads. They understand what it is to be in a dad, and they fight to exalt the name, the character, and the nature of their fathers. This is what that idea of hallowed be thy name comes out of. We want our hearts to be reoriented towards this idea. Your name is great. Your name is good. And we want to proclaim it. We want to see it go forth across this world so that it is made known because you're awesome. That's not a biblical term, but nonetheless, it works. We see this practically work out in a scripture reference in Acts chapter 4 when the disciples come together and pray. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. In verse 24, they say this, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and they said this, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they go on to talk about God's purposes and how he will make his purposes carry out regardless of how the nations rage against him. Like they want to exalt his name. They understand the character of his name. They are working out our Father who art in heaven without actually saying those words. Because the fact of the matter is, all of their requests to God are built first and foremost upon understanding their relationship. They're built upon understanding his name and its character and its nature. And they're built on a desire to see that name be made known to everybody who doesn't know it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this leads us to the next petition, which is your kingdom come. What's really important for us to understand is you fast forward a few verses to verse 33 in Matthew 6. Look what Jesus says. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, let me ask you a question. When you pray, if God answered your request, whose kingdom would go forward? Yours or his? That's a hard question to ask. And even as I ask that question in my own heart, it's really hard sometimes for me to even know the answer because my flesh is so intertwined with my heart, right? Like I sometimes don't even know. And so what do? We want to open ourselves to let the Lord press us against those things. You know, Jesus in his ministry, oftentimes what he would do is someone would come to him with a question or a thought. Jesus would respond with another question. Right? Which had to irritate people. But anyway, he would ask a question. Why? Because he's trying to get to the bottom of the heart. He's trying to get to the motivation of the ask. I was convicted by this just last week as my kids went to school for the first time on Tuesday. And my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, just help my kids to have a good day. And as I was processing through the sermon, I paused for a minute and just let the Lord ask me some questions. And I just had in my head come up, Darren, to what end? Like, so that they can have fun? So that they can be spared suffering? What if fun actually pulls them away from me? What if fun actually becomes a distraction to me? What if they need some hardship in their lives, even at school, to be driven into my arms? Are you okay with that? You see, what I was convicted was even in that prayer, whose kingdom I really wanted to go forward was my kids. I wasn't concerned about his kingdom in their lives. I was concerned about their kingdom and my kingdom. And what Jesus, I think, is saying is like, no, always kingdom first. Now, here's the deal. Do not hear me say that we do not have the authority, the right to come and cast our cares and our anxieties upon the Lord. Absolutely. He cares about everything you say, even if it's give me a close parking place because it's raining outside. But that is done in context of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. Then all these things will be added to you. This isn't a blank check. See, here's the thing. If you're thinking first the kingdom, you might not actually pray for that parking place. You might actually say, Lord, give this parking place to someone who really needs it this morning. You see how that changes the way we ask the Lord for things? Jesus wants our hearts to be reoriented to his kingdom first. It leads to the third petition, your will be done. What he's saying is that your heart, the ultimate heart of a prayer should be a heart of complete submission. These are not selfish prayers, self-seeking prayers. They are hearts of submission. Brothers and sisters, we are servants of the King. He is not our servant. He is not there to do our bidding. He is not there to do our will. He is not there to be dictated to by us what he should and should not do. We are called to pray, not my will, but yours be done, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. This is the heart of a servant. This is what we are called to pray. Our first order of business in prayer is to align our hearts, align ourselves with his will first, not ours. You go back to Acts chapter 4, and that prayer of the disciples, if you know the context of that, what happens is the disciples stand before the chief priests of the day or the religious leaders of the day, and they threaten them and say, hey, if you continue to speak about Jesus Christ, essentially we're gonna kill you, right? They go back to the body of believers, the congregation of believers, and they begin to pray. And they start with what I said before, Sovereign Lord, you're great, and here's your name. And then they lead into this prayer. Acts 4:29-30, in light of those threats. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. Now pause for a minute. If I'm them and I'm in that situation, you want to know what my tendency would be? And now, Lord, look upon the threats of the religious leaders and kill them. Like, Lord, look upon the threats of the religious leaders and keep me safe. Lord, look upon the religious threats or the threats of those people and remove them away. Get me out. Keep me protected. Remove me from the circumstance. That's not what the disciples pray. And now look, Lord, upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Do you see how their heart has been reoriented to the desire of God first? His will first, his kingdom first. They are servants of the king, and they are casting their concerns and their cares upon him in the pursuit of his kingdom. This is huge for us. And it leads us then to the third, or to the, I guess it's the fourth petition. Give us today our daily bread. In light of this foundation of a prayer centered upon God first, kingdom centeredness, fully submitted hearts before the Lord, we now get to a petition to give us our daily bread. Now, what I think Jesus is getting at, and what I think the scriptures lead us to when you look at the scope of scripture, is that this isn't necessarily about give me enough food to eat today. This is about us going to the Lord and say, give me what I need today. Not what I want, what I need. That might be physical provision. It might be spiritual provision. Give me what I need. Look at the disciples, what they pray for. In light of these threats, in the midst of their terror and their fear, they prayed for boldness. They needed boldness because they were scared, and they needed the boldness to be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Do we pray what we want or what we need? My tendency is to pray what I want and sometimes to pray what I think I need, right? It's easy for me to pray for, man, I want health. I want safety. I want security. I want good things for my kids. I want new countertops. I want a new car. I want success. Yes, pastors even struggle with that. I want those things. And listen, don't hear me say we don't get to ask for those things. We do, but not first. That's not our priority. That's not our heart. Our heart is his will first. Our heart is our needs first. And let me ask a question. Do you really want your needs met? Do you pray, Father, give me faith? Give me hope? Give me patience, give me boldness, give me strength. You know, those aren't easy prayers. Think about patience, for example. How does patience come? Like, it doesn't come through the ease, does it? Patience comes, like, okay, my kids, my oldest son's 19 years old. I am a far more patient parent with Jade than I was with Isaac. You know what has made me more patient? Three kids who would throw up on the floor 3 inches from a trash can. Like, the first one, I was like, why would you do that? By the third one, I'm like, that's going to be a pain. Like, it builds patience, right? If we pray, God, give us what we need, do you really want him to answer that question? Do you really want him to answer that prayer? Because it may not come away or come around the way you want it to come around. This is a heart that says, I don't always know what I need. You give me my daily bread. You give me what I need for today. That's the heart of us as his people when we approach prayer. Then he goes on to the next petition. Lord, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Two things. One, brothers and sisters, you're a forgiven people. You know the only reason you can go to the Lord in prayer is because you're blameless in his sight because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes. That is the only reason he hears you. You are blameless and you can go to the throne like Jesus himself. Every single time you go to the Lord in prayer, you should be reminded that you are dependent upon the forgiveness bought for you on the cross. And so you should boldly confess your sins to God as an act of abiding in the cross and throwing those things upon the cross, and then have all assurance that you can come to him and he will hear you. That's prayer. Forgive us our debts, but here's the deal. But also, not only are we forgiven people, we have to be a forgiving people. How can you recognize that you are dependent upon the grace of Christ, even for God's ear to actually hear your prayer, and then hold bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness in your heart? Do you see how if you have your heart oriented in the right ways, we get realigned with the grace of Christ every single time we open our mouths in prayer? This is why the church has historically prayed things like prayers of confession, because as we'd stand together as a body and we would pray prayers of confession, it is an acknowledgement together, none of us did well this week. We have all fallen. We are all dependent upon the grace of Christ. We all need to be forgiving people because we're all forgiven people. We're a community of broken, messed up sinners. But we still can go to the Lord and he hears us. What an amazing thing. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Finally, Jesus leads us and says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, there's a lot I could say about this, and I know there's a lot of questions that come. Where does temptation come from? What is testing? What is temptation? Does God lead us to it? Here's the deal. I want to get to the heart of what I think Jesus is saying here. And I think what the heart Jesus is saying in this text is that testing and temptation is going to come. Every single one of us are going to face trials and tribulations, regardless of our lives. The prayer is, Lord, lead us not into temptation, and if that comes, deliver us from evil. Now, let me give you a very practical way that works itself out. Here's the heart of something that we would call is aligned with this type of prayer. Lord, lead me not into the testing and temptation of cancer. I don't want cancer. I don't want to suffer that. I don't want to walk through that. I don't want to have my faith tested in that. But if cancer should come, deliver me from evil. May my faith stand. May I stand firm. May I be strong. May I grow in faith. Deliver me from evil. Right? And in that, we can pray for healing. We can pray all those things because God hears us. But I think this is what Jesus is getting at. Or lead us not into temptation. Lead me not into sin. Let me not be tempted by sin. But even if I fall, let me not be overcome by evil. Let me not fall completely. Let me not be overcome by these sins. Lead us not into temptation, into testing, but deliver us from evil. I think this is the heart that we should come to the Lord with in our prayers. And so this is the how. Now we get to the why. And I promise this will be short. The why is basically three things. One, why should we pray? Because you're the people of God. You're the people of God. We are people of a kingdom, enlisted as part of the kingdom. And I love this quote from Adam McHugh. He says this, I enjoy the idea of sitting with God on a porch swing, sipping lemonade and chatting about the weather. That's great. But the better image might be a soldier in the heat of battle in constant communication with his commanding officer. The soldier doesn't just want to hear from his superior, he needs to. How many of you approach daily life as a battle, as servants of the Lord, called into the gospel message of what he's trying to accomplish, and you feel the weight? You need to hear from your King. Where do I go? What do I do? What do I step into? How do I serve you? How do I make your name great? How do I extend your kingdom? Those are the questions of a God-centered man and woman as they go to the Lord in prayer. Direct me, I'm yours. We need to hear from our commanding officer. What an image. And it leads to the next reason as to why we pray. We need to hear. You know what? Prayer isn't just about us talking. Prayer is listening, isn't it? Like, have you ever been in a conversation where you sit down at a table, someone just starts to talk, and they talk for 30 minutes straight, and you don't get a word in edgewise? Like, those are fun people to be around, right? Like, and then you leave the conversation. Did that person know, do they know any more about you? No, they don't know any more about you. And yet, how often do we approach the Lord that way? Good morning, Lord. Here's my list. Amen. Walk on by. Like, prayer is not just about speaking. Prayer is also about listening to the Lord. How often do we say, Lord, what would you like to say to me? See, if you believe prayer is about entering into the presence of your Father, it's not just about what you can communicate, it's about what he can communicate to you. And so we, not only do we need to go to him, do we need to hear or to know him because we're his people and he directs us, but we need to hear his voice. We need to hear it. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, if you're one who struggles, as I have oftentimes in my life, with silence, sometimes the miracle is just his presence. And if you can learn that, you will find that prayer is a solace, not a duty. We need to hear from him. But here's the next piece to why we pray. And this is my favorite. Because we are heard. You get that? You are heard. And not like my kid hears me when I tell him to go clean up their room. No, he listens to you. Like, he listens to you. This is completely counter to our entire world, right? Like, what happens to a person when they gain power in the world? The more their power they gain, the further they go up the ladder, the less their ears are open to those below them, right? Our King sits on the throne of this universe. He can speak creation into existence, and he has bent his ear. The word the scriptures use is he has inclined his ear to your voice. He hears the prayers of the righteous. And you are righteous because of Christ. He hears you. Why would you not want to go to him in prayer if he hears you? I think a lot of the reality is we don't believe he hears us. Because we don't get what we want. Because we're not going to him with the right heart of prayer. God hears your cries. He hears you. What a beautiful reality. And we need to be a people that go to him and cry out to him. I love the Exodus story. One of the reasons why I love it is when you read the Exodus story, the whole redemption of Israel out of Egypt starts with the words, and the Lord heard their cries. Isn't that amazing? And then he acted in some pretty amazing, miraculous ways. And so here's what we're going to do. We've talked about that. We can talk about prayer and we can't talk about all these things without actually praying. And I know some of you just went like, no, I knew it was coming. So here's what I want to do. I just want to give a couple of instructions here. One, I want to acknowledge and just recognize that there's some in this room right here that may not even have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so prayer to you just feels really weird and it feels awkward and you don't know what to do with yourself. Let me just challenge you that during this time, if you have nothing to say, just enjoy the silence for a moment. And maybe your only prayer is to just challenge the Lord and say, Lord, show yourself to me. Speak to me. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal your heart to me. Maybe it's a time for you to just say, you know what, I've never done this before, but I'm just going to cast my sins. I'm going to say, here's my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. And see what happens. I just challenge you to do that. For the rest of us, We're going to do something that's awkward. And we're going to spend a few minutes in just complete silence. Something we all love, right? And I know that it feels strange, but in this silence, as we enter into it, I'm going to lead us into a prayer of confession that David prayed in Psalm chapter 51. And what I'd like to do after I read that is I'd like us to just spend time in prayer to the Lord, in silence, listening to his voice, saying, God, would you reveal any area of my life that is not pleasing to you? And then here's what I want you to do. Confess it to the Lord. Be specific, be clear, and confess it to the Lord. And then we'll continue on in a time of prayer together. So let me read Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you might be justified and your words blameless in your judgment. Now just pray silently and confess your sins, casting them upon the cross. I want to read a continued text out of Psalm 51, a cry of David's heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Brothers and sisters, you can be assured that the answer to that cry of David's heart was bought for you with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You are clean if you've confessed your sin. You are clean if you have cried out for forgiveness. You can now, as the people of God, literally go before him just as boldly as Jesus went before him. Because you are blameless in his sight. Not because you're good and not because you've done anything. It's because you now abide in Christ Jesus. So go now before him in prayer and cry out to his heart, knowing that he hears you. And so here's what we're going to do. We are going to pray together. And we're going to pray according to this text. And what we're going to do is I want us to pray for God's name to be made holy, to be set apart, to be made known, to be hallowed, and that his kingdom would come. And here's what I want. I don't want it to just be general. I want you to be specific. I want you to think of your neighbors, your family members, your coworkers, your workplaces, your schools. Anywhere his name is not being exalted above all other names, pray that it comes. Anywhere in our city that you are aware of where the kingdom of God is not being seen, pray specifically that it would come to that place. And I want you to do it with the people that you're around. And so what I want you to do is stand, and I want you to try to gather around with groups of 5, 6, 7. And if you're an introvert and you don't want to pray, just get around a big group. Right? And so that's okay, but get together, and I want you to pray specifically, knowing full well that the brothers and sisters that you're praying with have the same desire you do, and that you're one heart, one purpose, and one goal and one desire, which is to see God answer these prayers in miraculous ways. So go ahead and stand and just gather around with 5, 6, 7, however, whatever number you want around, and begin to pray out loud for those things, for his name to be made hallowed and for his kingdom to come in the specifics of your life. Transition in prayer, continue to stay with your groups, or if you're alone, you just feel like you need to do this by yourself, that's totally okay. But now transition to not just pray for God's name to be made great and for his kingdom to come, but now pray our daily bread. Lord, give us what we need. This isn't a time for us to pray for what we want. Give us what we need. This is an opportunity for you to pray for the men and women that you're in a circle with, that you're together, your family members. Ask the Lord to give them what they need, that he would give them faith, boldness, strength, courage. Maybe it's healing. Whatever it is, that they would get what they need. And that means that you may just need to pray that out loud for yourself as the Lord lays those needs upon your own heart and those around you can agree with you. And so now shift and lift up your needs to the Lord, your daily needs to the Lord. Father, as we close our time this morning in prayer, I just now pray over and for all of us, Lord, for this whole gathering of your people. My brothers and sisters, Lord, I ask and I pray you lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into testing. Father, testing is hard. Whether it's physical ailments, whether it's sins that we are struggling with, whether it's financial testing, whether it's whatever it is, testing is hard. Father, please lead us not into that. Please keep us from that. But Father, regardless, would you deliver us from the evil designs of our enemy? He would desire, as we are tested, for our faith to fail. He would desire, as we are tested, for us to fall headlong into sin. He would desire, as our faith is tested, for us to shake our fists at you in anger. Father, deliver us from evil. Help us to stand firm in our faith. Father, your word says that you would not allow anyone to be tempted, to be tested beyond their ability to stand. We call upon your name for that. And Father, if that means that you need to do a miraculous healing in someone's body this morning, we call upon you to do that. Father, if it means that you need to do a miraculous deliverance of someone from a sin they're struggling with, we pray that you would do that this morning as well. Whatever it is, we pray, Lord, that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we close our time, I want to lead you into this. Just, I don't want us to walk away from this and not take something out. I hope and pray that you guys have all seen that we need to be a people that have our hearts oriented correctly when we go to the Lord in prayer. How you pray, the specifics, whether it's with a group of people, like, yes to all of that, right? And so we want to encourage you, and there's a couple of things that I just call you to. One, we want to be a church of prayer. We want everything we do to be saturated with prayer. We want our community groups to be saturated with prayer. We want our Hispanic service to be saturated with prayer. We want our middle school and high school students to be saturated with prayer. We want our leaders to be saturated with prayer. We want what we do here on the weekends to be saturated with prayer. We want your lives to be saturated with prayer. And so what we're calling you to is, if you feel like you have been given the gift of prayer, or you feel led into being a part of that, we're developing a team of prayer. Call them warriors, call them prayer team, whatever you want. We're developing a group of people that have a passion for prayer. And Michael Thorne, one of our pastors, and Bill Blazing, one of our elders, are going to be developing that. And if that's you and you feel called into that, out at Info Central, right out these doors, there is a little slip of paper that you can fill out. And then Michael or Bill will call you this week and kind of explain what that looks like. We'd love to invite you into that. And just because you don't sign that paper doesn't mean you can't pray. But nonetheless, second thing is this: we have right now media. We've been talking about that over the past few weeks. We have a whole list of resources. There's a whole ton of resources on prayer. And so if you want to go into more depth, utilize that. Use it for your family, study it, pray about it, go to the Word. That's what that's there for, and it's free, it's easy. So go to Right Now Media and look at some of those resources. And then thirdly, if you're a Facebook or Twitter user, you don't have to admit it. You just know who you are. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to try to, as a body, lead together in prayer through that means. I know social media has its negatives, but we can turn it for positive, right? And you know what's cool? You don't all have to be in the same room for God to hear us all. We can give a constant voice to the Lord. And so we're just going to shoot out some things specifically to try to lead you in prayer as a congregation throughout the week so that you can join us all together. And so I encourage you to follow that, share it, because we believe that God hears us and that he wants to do something through us as his people. Okay? Last thing, we're glad you're here with us this morning. And if you are new and you have never been here before, and this was like totally weird for you, I totally get it. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you don't know Jesus, like, I totally understand that. And I just want to acknowledge that, but we hope you come back anyway. And I would love to have the opportunity to meet with you. And so I'm going to be in a room right out these doors to my right, your left. And we'd love to just connect with you if you've got questions about this. And then lastly, if you feel you just need someone to pray with you this morning, we're going to have pastors and elders up here at front. We've got Jim Andrew over here. Pastor Edwin is over here as well. I think they would just be willing to hang out and be available to pray with you this morning. I'll close this with this. And if you know it, join me. It's the Lord's Prayer. That's what we've been talking about. And it's okay if you know the King James Version. That's what I grew up with. Just say it the way you know it. God doesn't care if we all join together and sound exactly the same. Just say it as you know it. But if you don't, read along with me and let's pray together as the body of Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Church, God bless. Have a wonderful week, and we hope to see you next week.